but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, Miles Williams, linebacker, Cal. He's been patient with us. He's been hanging around. He did something really cool over the weekend. Cal football players have started the Golden Buddies program, where they have invited typical kids and some kids with some special needs to come and participate in a football camp. They did it last year, last summer, as their inaugural event. They did it again over the weekend. Yes, it was raining in the Bay Area. It was a little soggy, but they had a whole bunch of kids come out, smiling, laughing, participating in football. Joining us now, Cal linebacker Miles Williams. How you doing, Miles?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
Give us an idea. Like, why was this important to you? Why is this Golden Buddies program important to you?
Yeah, so like covered in that beautiful piece you wrote this past weekend, so I appreciate it again.
You bet.
My parents, I have an upbringing in the special needs community, like you covered. And, you know, growing up, I saw disparities with kids and being stigmatized and outcast, and I never really liked that. So I thought in my time here, the Cameron Institute, they made it a point in my recruiting, especially they're like, hey, if you have any community service work or anything that is a personal interest of yours to, you know, bring it up and maybe we can help you out. So that was the first thing that came to mind when they brought that up. And ever since then, it's been a journey last year to this year. So we got it dialed.
For me, like, it's near and dear to me. There's teachers in my family, but I know both of your parents work in special education. How did your upbringing, being around that, maybe make this interesting to you?
I would say definitely having the hands-on experience that my parents did. They kind of looped me and took me under their wing and allowed me to have that hands-on experience that I wanted to share with my teammates. Because it really is a cool thing when you can, you know, you form connections and bonds with kids in general, but especially the special needs community. It's something different when you can have a bond with that kid, you know, who is a little, who may be being outcast at school or treated differently. I think it's a special place in my heart that I think that they appreciate as well.
Give us an idea, because I know the conditions were not ideal. I mean, you had some rain up here in the Pacific Northwest. No big deal for us, but, like, you know, I saw the raincoats came out, but the smiles came out too.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm extremely proud of the kids that came out and my teammates, especially also for kind of bringing the energy that we needed for that hour and a half we were out there. But it was windy, overcast, raining for the whole time we were out there. And honestly, you couldn't tell if it was raining or sunlight with how much fun that we were all having. You know, me, Fernando, and Jack, the guys who kind of spearheaded this event, were floating around throughout the event, taking care of, like, logistics stuff. So we didn't really get to be a huge part of the event on the floor, like event to event, or station to station. But just from floating around and seeing how everything was going, it was – I was just so proud, you know. It left me speechless, really, at the end of the day, from how we were able to come together.
I love that. I love that. I love that, you know, you brought a bunch of kids together. You're doing something really good with this. Let's go back a year. What, you know, you co-found this event with an offensive lineman teammate who's now off to the NFL, but what made you guys want to do this in the beginning, or where do you get this idea from, and how does it sprout?
Honestly, it started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, like when this event was you know, just an idea. I had talked to Zach Boshin, who is another staff member here. His job essentially is to bridge football and the Cameron Institute, community service, any other interest that players might have outside of, you know, actually playing ball. And I talked to him briefly the semester before me and Matt Sindrick got together to talk about it and expressed interest in doing something like that with another teammate who had ended up transferring. And it kind of fizzled out from there. But I talked to Zach Boshin as well. And, you know, I coincidentally sprouted another idea that was similar to mine. And then Zach thought, oh, okay, let's get these two together and we can go from there. And since then, you know, Atlanta, this is where we're at now.
We're talking to Cal linebacker, who obviously has a special place in his heart for kids, in particular kids with special needs. Miles Williams is with us, the Cal linebacker. You know, you guys are going off to the ACC next season. I'm going to ask you a football question just to keep the football fans engaged here. But, you know, how did you feel about the spring event, the spring game, and, you know, kind of where you guys are as a team?
Oh, the spring was fun. You know, I was out due to injury. I tore my MCL in our bowl game. But coming back in the summer, I'm excited to go. But this spring, I saw a lot of growth from our team, especially. We're pumped to get to the ACC, different teams. It's exciting. So I think we're physically growing and mentally growing as well. We're expanding.
I think, you know, we are all kind of excited to see what these teams do. What do you think the competition will be like in the ACC for the Cal program?
I mean, as far as our mindset, I can tell you that, you know, we go out there and we're just trying to play ball. So whoever it is, whether it's, you know, Florida State, NC State, I forget who else we're playing off the top of my head right now. But, you know, we go out there week by week. We take it game by game, and we game plan specifically for who we're playing. And we treat everybody with respect and the same, you know.
I love what you guys are doing with kids. You probably saw some of the same kids from year one come back in year two. I know you had like 200 kids that signed up. What are the plans for this thing, Miles, as you look to next year and beyond? Is this something, this Golden Buddies program, do you want to continue this? Do you want to see teammates continue this? Is this something you will continue to be involved in? You tell me.
Yeah, I definitely think it'll be something that continues on. I talked to Matt Sindrick last year at the end. You know, it was his last year at Cal, and he voiced that it was something he wanted to keep going. And, you know, I kind of took that torch as he handed it to me. And I got two more years here, so at least for the next 2 years, I will be I'll be here for it. But until that time, or until my time at Cal is up, then we'll have to see who wants to take the torch.
I've had four knee surgeries, man. I'm currently, like, as I'm speaking to you, I've got a bag of ice on my left knee. I had arthroscopic surgery just a couple weeks ago. What's your prognosis? How is the rehab going for you in the MCL?
Yeah, so what's it called? I'm sorry to hear you're rehabbing yourself. I know that's no fun. But, for my MCL, it was a grade 3 rupture, so all the way through. But what was interesting is that for the MCL, because it's so close to the surface, it's not as deep in the knee like an ACL. Structurally, it's not as, you know, crucial to the knee as far as functioning like an ACL. The recovery time is a little bit shorter. And it was funny for me, I didn't need surgery coming out of a full rupture, which was... Mm. You know, I kind of had to talk to my trainers and get them to tell it to me twice, make sure they weren't feeding me something, you know, crazy or had me mistaken for another player. But they were right. And so these past 5 months, I've been rehabbing, consistently getting treatment. And I just got a PRP shot the other week to kind of finish out my healing process. So we're going to be hitting the ground running in summer for sure.
I like that. You're going to have a bunch of kids there in the Bay Area who came to the camp who obviously are going to be big Miles Williams fans. We're talking to the Cal linebacker and the co-founder of the Golden Buddies Camp. It is a football camp held over last weekend. Very inclusive, special needs kids, typical kids, alongside each other, participating in the camp. For people who are just tuning in, Miles, mother and father, both involved in special ed. Dad is a adaptive PE instructor. Mom works in the classroom. Obviously, Miles, they have big hearts. What did they think? What do they make of this camp and what you're doing?
Yeah, they actually came up personally this weekend to come see it. They were unable to make it last year, but, you know, they surprised me this year and said they wanted to come up. So I was a pleasant surprise. They were, you know, telling me how proud they were of the event as a whole, you know, me, which, you know, was always nice as a kid, kid-to-parent interaction. But, you know, I'm so glad they got to see it themselves. So
I asked you this off air, but, you know, let's say after football, what is Miles Williams doing with his life after football?
Oh, yeah, after football. So career-wise, I'm studying to be a social worker right now at the, you know, Berkeley School of Social Work. So I got another year to get my degree in that. But in case that doesn't work out for some reason or if life takes me this way, I could be a first responder to a firefighter. My dad was one at the first part of, or earlier in his life. And I always thought that was interesting. I got a couple friends that are in it now, so we'll see where it takes me. But that's where I'm thinking for now.
Well, I have no doubt you're going to do big things on the field, off the field. Really proud of you, man. I know we just met each other, but I think what you're doing is really cool and it's important. It's bigger than football. I'm glad you're getting some buy-in from your teammates. Love to see more of them out there, some coaches out as well. Before I let you go, obviously, Coach Wilcox, your head coach, you know, he's got ties here in the state of Oregon. People know him and root for him here. What's it like to play for Justin Wilcox?
Oh, I love Coach Wilcox. I tell you what, he keeps it plain and simple, tell you what he wants, and, you know, no-nonsense type of guy, which I really appreciate. He, with regard, uniquely, I tell you what, we got this beautiful locker room that Aaron Rodgers came in and gave to us a few years ago, right? He's had this whole philosophy on it, and I think it really encapsulates the way he coaches, and he places a lot of trust in us as players. He's not super on our backs about, you know, keeping the he doesn't have a huge invasive presence in the locker room. He lets us make this our home and as players, police ourselves and keeping it upheld correctly without being like an overbearing coach. And I think it translates on the field. You know, he tells us what needs to be done, what he expects of us. And, you know, we just go out there and do it. It's that simple. So Coach Wilcox is definitely a favorite of mine in my career in football. So thankful for him, yeah.
What's that Aaron Rodgers facility like? Give us a tour visual. Like, take us through it. Describe it for us.
I'm in it right now as we speak, so that'd be really okay. Easy. Yeah, we have at least I'd say 100 lockers just for each individual player. Locker to locker, they all look very similar. Helmet cubby, and padded seats, padded back. And all this flips up for extra storage space from the seat to the padded back is your actual locker. And above it, you got like a little compartment with hydraulic windows and stuff like that to keep your pads in. And a private little lock combo here. A private cubby with a lock on it if you need to keep anything, you know, secured without phones, wallets, in the locker room. But LED lighting, all the fancy stuff, you know, real homie type feel.
I like it. All right, give me an idea. You had options, you know, out of high school, obviously, of where you wanted to go. Do you choose Cal because this is a great opportunity for you to get, you know, an education that is at the top of college football's Division I educational universities? Is it, how much of a blend of football factors into that, or the geography? when you're making that decision as a high school senior who's got options, why Cal?
Yeah, so, yeah, you're taking me back to high school. Wow, you're so far.
Let's do it. But let's do it.
I tell you what, my parents, objectively, I think, you know, obviously they let me make my own choice, which is really nice of them. I know that's not like that for everybody, but they supported me and gave me pretty much full autonomy in my choice for where I wanted to play football. But they love the education, no doubt. So did I. But thinking from a football standpoint, I tell you what, the coaches were the biggest changeup or the biggest differentiator, you know, school to school. I met a couple other coaches, you know, down in SoCal, schools that, you know, weren't too, what's it called, weren't too homey or what, you know, they were welcoming and whatnot, but it was just a different feel when I, you know, before I even met any of the coaches up here. Coach Browning, Coach Wilcox were the two spearheaded my recruitment. And I tell you what, it was just a different kind of feel whenever I talked to them on the phone, as opposed to even in-person interactions with other coaches. So the support that I felt from them early on was something I just didn't feel anywhere else. And it made my choice pretty easy as far as recruiting.
Yeah, because I was looking back and I was going, "Are you're one of those kids that's in, you know, Southern California and you got, you know, you had options, obviously. I think you had offers from Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, going off the top of my head, like Washington State, I think, was in there, Boston College in there, and Cal. And I think, you made the right choice, obviously, with the education being at the background of that. You're going to get that great blend of being in an academic place. Now, I've been on that campus and walked around. I would be a little intimidated as an academic person on that campus. Do you walk around and go like, man, everybody here is really smart? Like, you're in a pool of people there that can bring it in the classroom.
Yeah, it is. It was definitely intimidating. I tell you what, my early days coming on here as a 18-year-old kid, honestly, I had no idea what I really wanted to do as far as major specifics for my first year here. So just observing all these super smart people blowing through exams in like 5 minutes. They're one of those people, a lot of those people actually, that stand up, you know, 5 minutes after the test is given because they filled it out so fast. And it's kind of, you know, makes you think about how fast you're going. But it's a privilege to be here. I know I'm excited. I'm thankful. I feel like I've made my place in the scope of community on the campus. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, you're doing a great job. You're doing great things. If people want to check it out, I wrote about it on Sunday. You can check it out at johncanzano.com. But the Golden Buddies football camp, second year annual camp. I'm sure there will be a year three. Make sure you support Miles Williams on the football field and with what he's doing in life. Miles, keep us posted, man. I'm really really eager to see what you do with football and beyond, but you're on your way, man. Thanks for joining us.
John, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, you bet. There he is from the Aaron Rodgers locker room on the Cal campus, Miles Williams, who, by the way, rolled with us. He was supposed to be on at 4:20 or so, and he just rolled with us amid the technical difficulty. I can't tell you how much that means to me when you see people just sort of adapting on the fly. So good stuff from him there. Obviously, those of you who listen to this show know that Camp Exceptional is going on this summer in the state of Oregon. If you have a child who would love to go to camp, it's a sports camp, but really it's more of a relationship camp. I'll just be real to you. Sports are happening, but it is ages 5 to 15 at LaSalle High School in Milwaukee. Love the student leadership team at LaSalle that steps up every year and has high school kids volunteer to be, team leaders and team assistants. Obviously, the Portland State football team, just like Cal is doing in the Bay Area, Portland State comes out every day from 8 a.m. to noon. Those football players are there setting up equipment, serving as team leaders, helping facilitate the camp. They're bringing a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm. It's fun to be there, and the Portland State team makes it a real enjoyable experience. Bruce Barnum's team, I can't thank them enough for their volunteer work, just like the Cal guys who came out on Saturday, the football players. Portland State's sending the whole team out there. And in response to that, I want you to support Portland State because they're supporting kids in your community, and they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, not making a dime on it. They come out, they volunteer, they love being part of it. It's a team-building experience for them, but they're heroes to these kids that are age 5 to 15 that are out at this camp. And so if you have a typical kid living in your household like we do, all three of our daughters have attended Camp Exceptional, and they come away with an understanding that everybody in the world has got strengths and weaknesses. We're all in a battle with our limitations. We are in it together. By the end of the week, I got to tell you that the campers and the teams, just like the Golden Buddies camp in Berkeley, the campers and the teams are like so galvanized that, you know, the football players at Portland State are got glassy eyes as they're leaving on Friday because they know that they won't see the kids again until next year. I went out to a Portland State football game, and the kids show up and hold signs and say, "That's my team leader." And, you know, they're out there supporting the Portland State kids. It really is a community-building experience. There is limited space. Like, as in, if a handful of you sign up right now, I think the camp will be maxed out. But I'll just tell you, go to campexceptional.com if you'd like to sign up your child or your grand. If you'd like to sponsor a kid who can't otherwise afford to attend the camp, we love scholarshiping kids in. A high percentage of kids are scholarshiped into the camp every year. You can go to baldfacetruth.org, go to donate, and you can see, you know, support a kid with a scholarship to Camp Exceptional, and you'll be providing an opportunity for a kid to attend camp this summer, July 15th through the 19th at LaSalle High School in Milwaukee. All right, coming up, the 5 at 5 with Anna. We won't have any technical problems there. We're just going to riff and do the 5 at 5 coming up next. So she'll be with us. And then much more ahead on the Bald-Faced Truth. Who knows what's going to happen today on this show? Technical issues aside, we're ripping along.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.